This is the CAG Podcast, and it wouldn't be a Friday or Saturday night here at Starbase Indy without memorable parties. I again bring you Jen Bomb, the Klingon Pop Warrior, as she tells us why ain't no party like a Klingon party.
Welcome to Ain't No Party Like a Klingon Party panel. Hey, I am Jen Ucelis. I am the Klingon Pop Warrior. My Klingon name is Jen Bomb. It means high song in Klingon, kind of. It's not quite right, but close enough. And my very first Klingon party memory, I was in the cast of A Klingon Christmas Carol for the first year that it came to Chicago, and I went to my very, very first convention ever. It was WindyCon. And not only was it my very first convention ever, but it was also helping throw a party. And we did a Klingon karaoke party, and it was a whole lot of fun. Luke Ski was there, and he came in and he performed, and it was great. Introduce yourself.
Okay. I'm Michelle P. I'm known as KLS. My first memory of a Klingon party was at the Camp Dover Peace Conference, and we were actually probably more of a roving Klingon party that year. I was with Kurg, another guy known as Delora, and another guy, Krankor. And we actually roamed from room party to room party that year, singing and just jumping into different parties and just interjecting Klingon-ness and having a grand old time. And I think we were more of the life of the parties than the parties that were going on at that convention.
Klingons can bring a party. I like the fact that, to me, Klingon philosophy is, you know, today is a good day to die. So therefore, you know, we live hard and fast, but we also party hard, we love hard. We basically do everything hard because, you know, today is a good day to die. So we gotta live in the now. So I kind of broke this down into different sections to think about, like, and mostly it's just ideas for your next Klingon shindig or, you know, what have you. Maybe you have some ideas that we don't think of. So I kind of broke this down into different little party elements that I was thinking about. And I was starting with Klingon decorations. Mm-hmm. And I know you've been making some really fun stuff this week that I have seen. You were sending me some really great pictures of things for tables. So some table ideas.
This year what I've done is I've been experimenting with glass painting. So up in the room this year, there's some steins and wine glasses that I hand painted with the CAG symbol. And there's also some lighting accents up there that are just beta bowls that I painted black and then either did like fake nebula patterns or star fields. And we found some LED Christmas lights and we put them in there with some glass beads. So hopefully that'll kind of look a little Klingon or science fiction like and just something a little different. And it was cheap as could be to make and
Klingons
pretty cool.
Like their candles. Mm-hmm. They like fire. So yeah. I mean, nowadays, especially depending on where your party is and what you're doing, it's great that we have things like LED candles and stuff like that, and you can even get little LED tea lights. Yeah. So that you're not actually having open flame in a hotel and things like that. So definitely, like, thinking about, you know, if you're home, sure, light all the candles you want and just tell people to avoid it. But if you're in a hotel throwing a room party or something like that, definitely looking at LED candles. Yeah, I love, like, votives and stuff like that. I love stuff like this, these little plaques, anything. You can put lights behind it to kind of make it pop. Things like that, especially if you're throwing a dinner party.
Mm-hmm. I think these will look great with a LED light behind them upstairs later.
Yeah.
Walls.
Oh, yeah. I will.
Wall stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Banners.
Oh, yeah.
If you can get a banner with a Klingon logo on it, just paint it. You can get hit your Joann Fabrics, like, or, you know, a fabric warehouse, reds and blacks. Red and black fabric will never do you wrong. And that's the same thing with tables, like mm-hmm. tablecloths, red and black tablecloths. The one I have back there is like a plastic one that's great, but it looks really cool. Stuff that looks a little earthy and handmade. I always say that like Klingon art and Klingon music and everything is like hit it with sticks and see what happens. And so it doesn't have to be, it can be a little rustic, I guess is where I'm going with that.
Sometimes your best finds are also the discount rack at a fabric store. It'll be that fabric that nobody else is willing to buy because it's just so hideous and it's the best fabric to use.
Right. Yeah, and a nice stencil of a trefoil or hand painted. Like I did all of the ones on here by hand, and some of them are a little rough looking, but it actually, once you get going, painting a trefoil is not too hard. Put trefoils on everything. Trefoils on everything. Plates and flatware. I threw this on here because I actually had no idea what to do for this or if it even freaking matters. Do we just eat with our hands?
Flatware. Well, with me, because what I've been doing is feeding people on larger scales over the past few conventions. So depending on what you want, I've been either hitting dollar stores for flatware if you want to go with colors. Like you can get it like dollar store. Sometimes you can get solid colored flatware, but it will be in small quantity.
Sure.
Or you can hit somewhere like GFS, which has been a gold mine the last couple times I've been shopping for conventions as far as buying large quantities. Like you can get like 125 for like $7.
Oh wow.
So I've been starting to learn.
TOS trefoil is yellow, red, green, and blue.
Mm-hmm.
And so any of those colors that you can work in, like, and you can get flatware in those colors too. Yep. So you can get flatware plates, like anything solid color, you're definitely going to find at a dollar store and stuff like that. So definitely I didn't even think about that. See, that's why I'm sitting here talking to you
now. For our Discovery launch party, we did black and silver tablecloths, a red Halon balloon that was gold, red glitter.
Oh God.
And then black and red black and red plastic silverware. And then we did a custom decorated cake for Chris Obie.
That's right, because the opening of Discovery was Chris Obie's birthday, Takuvma's birthday.
Yep, so we did a cake for Takuvma, so we did everything all color schemed.
Nice. The other thing that I have here, see, I put question marks by these on my little outline because I was like, I don't even know. Do you cover your furniture? Do you care? In a hotel, yes.
Mm-hmm. Cover the whole floor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like the infamous chocolate party.
No, he's not kidding. I'm not kidding. That's what we do.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You got to cover the floor.
Plastic wrap, and we get like carpet squares and put on top.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. There's actually a plastic wrap that will adhere to the carpet of the floor.
Right.
It's designed just for that particular purpose.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It depends on how big a con is, too.
Right.
You know, I mean, if it's a huge con, you're better off getting a tarp, taping it down, and then putting whatever on top of it, because this plastic will come up.
Right.
If you get about the 1,000th person to walk over it, you know.
I think the only time I've ever been in fear for a carpet was at MarCon that year when they smashed that massive bar of chocolate on the floor.
Oh my God.
That was a night. I felt sorry for the lady in housekeeping the next day. Because how many pounds was that bar of chocolate?
That was fine.
You were at that.
Jill likes
bread. I think it was 25 pounds.
25 pound bar of chocolate they smashed on the floor and some of the chocolate got grilled into the carpet.
Oh my God. Yeah. You can do the same thing too, like just grabbing random remnants of fabric to cover the bed. Fur is always mm-hmm. great. We love our furry sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, having some fur blankets and things like that around, draped on things, just to kind of protect your furniture if people are going to get crazy, like Klingons often do. The next section that I have here is my favorite section, and I kind of hope that that I get a million more ideas from here. It's the drink section. beverages. I was gonna start with alcoholic, but I'd say let's just get the non-alcoholic stuff out of the way, and then we'll talk booze. Mm-hmm. Now, I had no real good ideas. So yeah, definitely get some better wine if you're doing it at home. But you're also heating it up and throwing in some honey.
Yeah,
mine
so
is
don't go super quality.
So don't go super quality. Like think Apothic and maybe Ménage à Trois. Keep it under $10. I do mulling spices, which I've done. Trader Joe's actually has mulling spices, but I actually got some. I think it's Spice Island. I found it at Costco last year, mm-hmm. and they were fantastic, really good. It has really nice like chunks of dried orange peel and star anise and stuff like that, and it's just a really nice flavor. And I do one, it's usually one bottle of wine to a quarter cup, maybe a little bit more of honey. And if you're feeling like a really getting people messed up, maybe add like a quarter cup to a half cup of brandy in there too. But I'm not going that route this year. I want people to be able to enjoy other parties and other beverages. So I like the Klingon blood wine. I think that beer is always a fine, steady.
You get a lot of people homebrew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people homebrew nowadays. You do have to be careful with that. You got to know your local laws, but usually you can get away with it. If you're doing it at home, you're usually fine. If you're transporting it elsewhere, some states aren't too keen on that. It's hard. I mean, it's hard to prove, but depending on sometimes at hotel room parties, the cops will kind of come through occasionally and keep an eye on things. And so, I mean, granted, if it's in a keg, you might be okay, but kegging, you more than like, you're maybe doing like little pony kegs, no more than like 15 gallons at a time, 10 to 15 gallons. So, yeah. Dark beer. I prefer dark beer as a Klingon beer. It's heartier.
Hard to get in kegs.
It is hard to get in kegs. It's really hard to get like a good stout in a keg. They're usually kegging stuff like Bud Light, and like that is not a beer I want to drink. But you can sometimes go to your local brewery. Like if you check in, if you have some really good craft breweries around you, you can sometimes check with them and find out who, maybe they'll have a distributor that goes through a certain, you know, a local liquor store, or you might even be able to get it directly from the brewery itself. And go that route too if you have one you like or you're looking for something very specific. I love craft beer, so I definitely look for something a little heartier.
Yeah, we have one crew member who brews himself, and so he always brings a 15-gallon keg.
Yeah.
And then what we do as far as alcohol is we'll have several people make something themselves, so they decide what they want to make by themselves.
Right. Right.
I made Mother Feckler's milk last time, you know. And it wasn't real strong, but it was very, very hot.
Right.
Jalapenos in it.
Nice.
So, you know, the big one that we do at the Raquel is we'll do one drink which is non-alcoholic, but we don't tell anyone that it's not alcoholic. And when you get someone in there who's a little bit over the line, that's what you recommend.
You start
to
feed them that, yep.
You know? And we had a WorldCon where we sat there and fed that to people, and oh, they were just getting, oh, that stuff is great.
You're not getting as trashed as you think you are.
That's right.
Funny.
Yeah.
I like that.
Michelle, you have favorite booze recipes?
I'm a wine drinker, so I'm really not one on mixing so much. So.
Fair enough.
But you know me, I'm kind of the...
Romulan
ale.
Oh,
I'm sorry. We have Romulan ale.
That's true.
Chris makes Romulan ale.
Yep. You got to get your blue curacao in there. So.
Yeah. He's, but yeah, other than that, he mixes Romulan ale, so we've got that. That's his thing.
Anything that's bright colors will usually look like it's from Star Trek as well. So.
And the trick is finding the right bottles as well.
Yes.
Yes.
The bottles that were used on the show, it takes it to the next level because people see it and there's a spark of recognition.
Yeah.
And that draws them into it. To me, a party, a good party is one that absorbs people.
Yep.
Keeps their interest and makes them want to stay and come back.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Good conversation. conversations and whatever else. Good.
Yep, and our bottle does have all the stamps of it being
pilfered
by Admiral Colex for the Empire.
Right. And then pilfered by me from him.
Yes.
Nice.
Got to intercept those shipments.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you can...
He's a Randy one.
If you can get stuff like that or do it ahead of time, absolutely, especially because...
There actually is a Canadian brewer, and this might be hard to get, which does Klingon beer.
Yeah.
It was keg beer for quite a while.
They, right now, it's Schmaltz Brewing Company has taken over a bunch of the licensed beers. They are based out of, I want to say St. Luke?
New York.
Are they in New York?
New York.
Oh, I was thinking of somebody else. That's right.
I'm thinking of Tin Man.
Tin Man.
Who made the first.
Yes.
Which is just south of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Schmaltz Brewing did the celebration for the celebration ale for the 50th anniversary. They did the Klingon Porter, which has been out most recently, and I think has distribution, like fairly widespread distribution.
Schmaltz has fairly widespread.
Yeah. So it sounds like they've locked into this partnership for a while, so you can get some decent Trek themed beers as well. I've seen the Syndicate Ale, which is pretty good. I think the Klingon Porter is better than that Warnog was. I think it's more approachable too for people.
I like the Warnog better.
Yeah.
Either way, they're probably not either. You can't find either bottle in the stores.
Yeah.
Anymore.
I heard a rumor that somebody else was going to start brewing the Warnog.
Oh, interesting.
Because I think it may have been through the guy who. There's a guy on Facebook and Twitter who has something.
Yeah, VL Raincock has basically told me. Stop asking, it ain't happening.
Oh, did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was like, he would put, what Star Trek beer should we do next? Warnog.
More Warnog.
He said to me,
right.
Stop asking,
I
it ain't
something
happening.
He posted where he was mentioning that somebody
recently?
Else was picking, it might not have been recently.
Because it may have been one of those early times when I asked him. He kept like leading me on, like, well, we're looking into what we could do.
Yeah.
Things like that. He finally said, stop asking, it isn't happening.
There is also a wine company that does a series of Star Trek wines.
Yes.
They have like a mirror, what is it?
Vineport,
yes.
Oh, the Klingon
yep.
blood wine's amazing.
It's really good, a really good blend, and a red wine. So they've got the blood wine, and they have a couple other, there's like I think a mirror universe themed one, and a couple other Star Trek wines from that series that you can get, so... Yeah, yummy.
Mm-hmm. I think you've had the blood wine. We've brought it.
Yeah.
I came to De Kepa a couple times.
Yep, you have. And I actually was gifted a bottle at one point.
Lucky.
And I was like, oh. It's one of those things I keep meaning to buy, but we don't drink wine that often anymore in our house because my husband homebrews. And so we drink a lot of beer.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since we started drinking more beer, I don't want to commit to like half a case of wine even because it'll sit for too long. But
that's the only downside to that Klingon blood wine is
you have to.
One bottle costs you $20 and it's $20 shipping.
Right.
So it costs you two bottles to get one unless
yeah.
you get like half a case and then it's free shipping.
Right.
Yep.
You
buy
it's
6 to 12.
It's great if you have stuff going on where you can bring a bottle here and a bottle there. So, or you're throwing a big party. Oh man, Klingon food recipes.
Probably the best source for Klingon recipes is that Star Trek cookbook if you want to go hardcore Klingon recipes.
The one with that was done by Ethan Phillips?
Yes.
There is some good stuff in there. He has like a whole section. I actually have a copy of that I've been getting signed by Star Trek actors. It's like I've turned my Star Trek cookbook into a giant autograph book. But I have flipped through it. My problem is I'm a vegetarian. And I don't say that to be like, I'm a vegetarian, because I know that there are people out there who do that. But there's a lot of meat
mm-hmm.
recipes in there. Like his Heart of Targ recipe is a legit heart, like go to your butcher and get a heart. And like and cook, and you can totally do that. You know, I actually came up with a vegetarian version of Heart of Targ that I was really proud of, and I brought it to a party, and I didn't tell anybody. All I told people was, if you have a gluten allergy, you won't want to eat this. I was like, if you have celiacs, don't eat this. But if you don't have celiacs, you should be fine. and it was actually, I made these homemade seitan chickpea mix cutlet things. And then marinara sauce. I basically made, it was like a parmesan. It was like making like an eggplant parmesan or a chicken parmesan or something like that. But I used these like, these homemade cutlets. And I had three people who were like, your veal parmesan is so good. And I was like, oh, that's not veal. and they thought it was veal. I thought that was so funny. I was quite proud. I'm like, fool you. But it, but yeah, so that was my mm-hmm. way around doing something. And I made them sort of, I kind of shaped them a little bit into like somewhat heart-like. So I did that. I've seen a Pippius claw using like lobster claws.
Yeah.
Doing doing stuff like that. Lobster and crabs.
Lots of ways to do worms.
Worms. Oh, so many ways to do gah. You can
buy super mealworms.
Yeah, you can buy actual mealworms.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. If people will balk at that, you can go.
You know what you do with them is you gut roll them. If you put them in chocolate, if you have them for like a week and you put them in chocolate, they will eat the chocolate. If you put them in peppers, they will eat the peppers. And then they actually have a taste besides the mealworm.
Wow. Nope, I can't do it. I can't say that was a thing I could not do even when I ate meat. Just like whenever anybody asked me, well, what about salmon or tuna? I'm like, I didn't eat that when I ate meat. Like, nothing has changed. But I do like, I think one of the things when it comes to food, like I'm always willing when I go to a party to bring my own food. I never expect people to mind dietary things. Like I just don't expect that. And it's gotten easier over the years though, especially I think we're at a time right now where it's really easy to find gluten-free products, vegetarian products, vegan products, things like that. So like I do keep my eyes open for alternatives because mm-hmm. I like being mindful. Like I you know, whenever I am like, oh, you have a gluten thing, I'll make sure I've got something for you. People are always really excited about the fact that I thought of them. And so if you can take that extra time for your party to think about, to think about that, it makes me feel, mm-hmm. it makes me feel like I'm taking care of my guests for my party. And then it makes them excited to also come to the party because they don't have to worry about bringing something themselves, or they can just come and enjoy the party. Yeah. Other food? I just found these amazing noodles at Costco. I've seen like udon noodles or like thicker noodles, but these are actually, they're gluten-free because they're made out of edamame. So they're like, oh my God, they're really, the downside is they're kind of thin. They're a little bit closer to spaghetti, but their color is so brilliant. It's like just this like green color, and they just taste like whatever. I mean, once you throw a sauce on it, it mm-hmm. doesn't, you throw whatever sauce you want on it. But the color is fantastic for these things. So if you can hunt down some like edamame or black bean noodles, I've also seen, oh my gosh. Highly recommend, and it'll definitely kick that dish up a notch.
There you go.
Just thinking about that. What else is there?
Live octopus.
Oh, God. I have seen some of those videos that have been going around online for that live octopus stuff right now.
Well, there's two of the
dead octopus.
You're probably talking about the soy sauce on the octopus.
Yeah. I've seen that one, and I just saw another one where a guy, like, slit one open, like, pulled it out of a thing and, like, slit it open and did some stuff to it. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
I can't do that.
If you have someone who's not squeamish and is happy to slit open a live octopus for your party and then pour a little soy sauce on it, it will dance for you. So it will absolutely dance for you. I think for a small dinner party, because that's not going to be a cheap option. So if you're doing like a smaller at home thing, absolutely go for it if that is your bag. Like, but I'm just like, well, nope. Nope.
Separate the men from the boys.
Nope. Yeah. Nope.
Well, you could just do cooked octopus.
You could do cooked octopus as well. Or, like, you could just go get some sushi grade.
Right.
Just sushi grade octopus and, you know,
slice that's up. Your.
And, fine, yeah.
Gummy worms
are a great. I've done that for parties, for gach. I really like veggie straws, too. Like, I think, like, if you get just a bowl of veggie straws, they're crispy. It's like deep fried gach.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've found those. I like dried fruit. Like, if you get, like, dried pineapple and, like, dried mango and stuff like that, like, it just looks kind of weird. In this most recent episode of Discovery, they had, or there was an episode where there was a sort of a Klingon feast happening, and Laurel, like, ate a leg of something. It looked like just a turkey leg or a chicken leg.
Yeah.
But, so, I mean, like, yeah, you could just get yourself some nice baked chicken legs and... Very bright colors, which is one of the things that I like about the dried fruit. We used a bunch of dried fruit our first year in a Klingon Christmas Carol, and it just looked great on stage, the dried pineapple and the mango chunks and stuff like that.
Kiwi
it just
is
great.
Kiwi. It's a great color,
yep.
As well, people don't expect.
Yeah.
Bright green thing.
There's a really good, I found it at Costco. It's like a fruit and nut mix that has like strawberries, kiwi, I think there's some apple, and... there's like two or three other fruits in there. I think there's some mango. It's just like a really nice looking mix of sort of exotic. It just looks kind of goofy. When you throw it in a bowl, it looks good. And I think that's one of the great things. Like half of the battle with these party, with throwing a Klingon party, is just making it look good.
Yep.
So.
Making it look alien. If you can make it
yes.
look like things that people don't expect to see.
And just to throw this in, there is an issue of Mind Scanner that is all about Klingon recipes.
Klingon food.
Yep.
Yep, and I think a lot of it's available online as well.
It's all on
the CAG.org. Yep. But I think there is a section on the CAG website, isn't there, that's like a Klingon recipe section?
I don't think. I think it's mainly in that Mind Scanner issue.
But it's a really good Mind Scanner issue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just like the beverages one is a separate issue and a really good issue.
Yep.
Yeah, they're really easy to find. If you click on the Mind Scanner link, it's like they've got big, nice covers.
Oh, yeah, those covers are distinctive.
Yeah, that shows you what's in there. Oh, man. Oh, the last part of the last little section that I have here is the Klingon entertainment section. Games, music, and ceremonies. We have some pain sticks in that corner over there. Are we going to be doing some like Rite of Ascension stuff tonight at the Klingon party, like, or at tomorrow at the General Assembly? Like, what's going on with those pain sticks?
Hey.
We have done that. That was really one of my more fun the more fun parties I've attended. We had a friend who had just joined CAG, and so we had her. A whole bunch of us had pain sticks and brought them along. And that we took pictures of her like walking through while people were tapping her with the pain sticks. And I mean, somebody said some words and, you know, welcomed her to the club or whatever. And it was just a really fun little mini initiation thing. We do a kilop every year, which is in October. It's a Klingon holiday. So it was one of the kilop things that we did. And it was a good time and super cute.
Well, I have to sing
Khoi Kalish tonight. There we go. Yeah, Khoi Kalish Puklod is, when people know it, is really fun to sing. I enjoy the fact that about halfway through it usually peters out.
Everybody can't remember the words.
About half the people will actually know the words, and the other half are going to be like, that's a good. I love industrial, like sort of industrial music is good for a Klingon party. Like if you're just looking for general like. Underscored party music. I have two CDs out that are songs translated into the Klingon language. Always great for a party.
Yes.
Ding.
Even
better when you can sing them live. Yeah. So that's always There are bands out there who have done other Klingon music. You've got Il Troubadour. You can find their music
Cosmic
online.
Stovall Corps is coming back.
So there is Klingon music out there, Klingon rock out there that you can kind of mix in with your general, like, throw in some metal, throw in some dance music. Klingons like to dance. We just like to party. I think that's really what it comes down to. We like to party, and we will do all things that happen at a party if you let us do all of those things at a party.
Well, I've been to Klingon parties.
What?
I said I've been to some crazy Klingon parties.
If you're talking about a con party, a couple things you can do that we've done at the Ray Cal is one of them is we have a Mukan Besh, which is curse warfare.
Curse warfare? I have heard about curse warfare.
We'll have it printed up on a sheet so if the humans want to do one, they can certainly do one too.
Right.
You know, you can have it in Klingon and in English.
Yep.
We've got sheets of that. The other one we do is we do stupid human tricks.
Stupid human tricks. I like it. I also have done, we've done Klingon karaoke, which we talked about earlier. Really just sing whatever you want drunkenly at the top of your lungs. It doesn't matter. But karaoke is usually fun if you can get it. And if you have some people who can sing a couple ditties in Klingon, it's even a little more fun. And we'll surprise your guests. We threw a couple of really good, really fun karaoke parties for conventions. And you get some people who won't go near a karaoke party, but then you get a whole group of people who are ready to have a great time. And you have pierced ridges, and I love it. Love it.
Hey, we're still girls.
Yeah. We talked about the rite of ascension. Are there any other rituals? Like, we've done Klingon weddings. You can throw yourself a Klingon wedding if you have some friends who are willing to jump in. I know that the text exists in both Klingon Khol and in English. I have seen it. I know it's out there somewhere. There was a Klingon wedding here last year. Yeah.
There are two things. He just mentioned one of our signature drinks called Hot Sex. It's kind of like a cinnamon mudslide, and there's all kinds of ritual with drinking and stuff.
Yes.
It's very good, and it's
a lot of fun. You have people who come in and say, oh, I have to have hot sex with a Klingon.
Now, of course you do. It really depends. That is fine, but you will also have people who will be very uncomfortable by that. So you kind of have to play that by ear with who is going to be willing and who is going to participate in that. Yeah. So
we never say, hey, you want to have it? It's out there.
Right. Somebody else is, hey, I want some of that.
And then one of the cool things that happened to us at the con years ago, JG was a guest of honor. So we roped him in into helping us marry a couple in Klingon. We said, and my captain, who is Laura, she just handed him the script, and which was straight from the show.
Right.
And JG said, well, this is, I can't remember his wife's name.
Sorella.
This is Sorella's part. Why don't you read that? So Laura essentially got to do a scene with J.G. Hersler.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a good Klingon wedding ceremony is involves some hitting of the bride and the groom and a lot of yelling. And yes. I like it. I like it a lot. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that we haven't covered?
Tribble stomping.
I played tribble croquet with Chris one year in a hallway. Mm-hmm. That was fun.
I think it was me, you, and Marie.
Yeah. Yeah, a little tribble croquet. Never hurt anybody. Just the tribble.
At an Omaha convention one time, we did for the kids tribble dodgeball.
Nice. There was.
So you can dodge a tribble. You can dodge a ball.
Yeah, Starfest, the Starfest Denver guys had a giant game of like tribble floor hockey or something like that. It was really funny. And it was all kids.
Hungry, hungry Targ. They had a triangle made up, three teams, and in the center was a bunch of tribbles. Each team had one person
on a floor trolley, the other one controlling, pushing him in and out with his feet. They had to push him in. He used a cardboard batlet to grab as many of the trebles from the pile as he could and pull them out, just like Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Oh my God.
That's awesome.
The videos are online.
Love it.
That is awesome.
All right. Well, we're right at about quarter till the hour.
Yeah.
And 7 p.m. there is opening ceremonies. I'm sure I would hope people want to go and get their seats for.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're kind of at a good wrapping up point.
Yeah.
Basically, throw yourself a Klingon party. Drink some blood wine.
Mm-hmm.
Or Romulan ale.
And you can come to a Klingon party.
And you can come to a Klingon party tonight and tomorrow night.
Yep.
See, where would that be?
362.
Why, thank you, kindly.
When would that be?
9 p.m.
Or shortly thereafter, since some of us may still be in the...
Yeah.
The
oh yeah, I have to get, I've got all the wine and stuff in my room. Anyway, that's it. Panel over.
This panel is may not be accurate, but you're never approximate. It starts at 9.
Well,
we're there.
Ish is
no, 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 it's the ish that's the problem. It's the ish that's the problem. 9.
Ish.
Starts at 9.
Ish.
Starts when you get there.
Ish. Who actually said that? Mark.
No.
No. No, Michael Dorn?
Michael Dorn.
Well, yeah. Mark wrote the words.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He did not write those.
No.
It was all written by that other guy. The guy who was like mentioned at the beginning.
Yeah.
Right. Both of them were written by that guy. They weren't written by Mark. He just got called in to do the translation. So all of that weird stuff, it all came out of the mind of that one.